texture like sun. Lays me down, with my mind she runs throughout the night.
Good news, I was just told by Carl Bianco that the New York Minute burger vouchers have landed, so plenty of chances to feed yourself and the family with the best possible burger meal. New York Minute burgers, hello Brownie.
Hello Finey, hello listeners. Yes, the AFL record come finals time. There is no finer football publication. I'll just go out and make a boast.
You know, I'm not going to name the pub or the team, but there's a new dynamic in Melbourne. Do you know what that dynamic is?
Well, you told me off air.
It's an interesting dynamic.
Well, if it's a game for men and women now, as it is, then it stands to reason, Finey, that defeated women's teams also have Mad Monday.
Well, all I can say is that AFL women's football and AFLW has exploded. There are leagues and there are teams and there are Mad Mondays and then there are Mad Mondays and this Mad Monday was better than most Mad Mondays I'd ever seen before. So there's another way that the AFLW have it over the AFL. Well, let's get to Jack in Richmond. We're going to talk about AFL, probably without the W, though it's all up for discussion. And Jack from Richmond, I've got a feeling, barracks for Richmond. How are you, Jack?
Finey, how are you going?
Very well.
Sweet, correct, Richmond. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment about Richmond. And I know everybody's been talking about Tufty, and he was awesome. No question about it. But just 2 points. Firstly, that not a lot of perhaps credit has gone to the back line that kept Geelong to 40 points only. And secondly, the recruiting last year of Nankervis, Prestia and Caddy has been a godsend for this club because it's just filled in the spaces, in particular in the midfield, where I reckon Richmond was lacking, and it's allowed people like Hooley and Grigg and Ellis to play even better because they're not having to take on the next best players that Caddy and Prestia have come in and taken over.
Good points. Let's divide them up, and you're still part of the discussion, Jack. I'd like to go back long. Will you take the recruits?
Sure.
Okay. You are right. You are spot on. Of course, Rance is always heralded in any good defensive game by the Tigers. I thought Nick Flosten was best on ground. I thought he played 4 excellent quarters of football, especially in the first half where clean ball was not something that everybody partook in. Old Bluebeard off one half-back flank, pardon me, and Blackbeard off the other. Hooley and Flosten, very good offensive players. And while Hooley has improved his defensive game, Flosten has a beautiful one. Now, Grimes and Asprey, again, thumbs up to those lads. There are problems with Geelong's forward line, but it was also springboard to attack for Richmond. And I felt before Dustin Martin, you know, put it into overdrive and ended the game just like that, I thought it was mainly Richmond's back line that was actually giving them more clean ball than their midfield.
Yeah, their midfield, their back line's been just solid. Really solid all year, and understated. We think Alex Rance, and there's obviously a lot more parts to it. I went to Richmond intra-club game back in February. It was probably 1 or 2 weeks even before the JLT series started.
Mm. Have you got a life?
Well, for work. yeah. and even then, you could just tell they were playing a different sort of football. 16 aside out of Putner on a Saturday morning. But even then, Prestia played and looked good. Caddy played and looked good. But the player that took my eye straight away was Nankervis. And immediately thought, this guy's going to make a real difference to Richmond. You know, this sort of mobile, prowling, powerful ruckman. But he can move. He can move really well.
And he kicks well, too, doesn't he?
He kicks well. And I think he's probably, he started magnificently. He's probably fallen off the pace a little bit, but he's been so solid all year.
Just on Richmond's style of football, because I want you to talk about the other recruits, Prestia and Caddy, who I think are the opposite. They've really geared up beautifully. I watched the game again on the weekend. I watched it last night. And Richmond are great. You know, they fumbled the ball a bit, but when you are applying the pressure, you're going to make some handling errors, and pressure applied always gets dividends. The only thing that they, I think, would do again differently, in a low-scoring first half, with 2 minutes to go in the first and second quarter, they reverted to a very cautious more defensive Richmond. They got away with it in the first quarter, but actually Geelong hit the post twice in the last minute and a half. And in the second quarter, they conceded their only two goals. They are not good at retaining the ball and slowing the game down. And
that's what caused them problems last year. And they didn't have the skill to keep have the high possession game.
The more I think about it, it's a tactic that is fundamentally flawed, because as soon as a side knows that you have put the cue in the rack and are aiming to get into the sheds, they can attack with merciless abandon, knowing that turnovers, when they turn over the ball, the other team just resets and tries to sweat the clock off. So why wouldn't you just throw, you know, all defensive setups out the window? Because if you lose the ball, they're not going to hurt you on the rebound.
That's right. They should just stick with how they're playing, Richmond. It did put the frighteners in them when Geelong got that second goal right on halftime.
Yeah.
It did, and then Geelong got the first goal the third quarter.
Yeah.
But again, it was a mature performance after that. We don't want to talk, you know, we talked at length about Dusty, but he did turn the game back Richmond's way for good.
And wasn't it great? Because you know what? Dangerfield knew that he had to step up, and he got the ball as well as Dusty got it, but Richmond got him. They got him in the old, you know, hooscow and roped him. He kicked a couple on the full. He threw one ball because they were onto him like white on rice.
Yeah, and they knew that Selwood was just going, so they really could put a lot. I mean, debatable whether he should have played. I mean, he clearly was well below his best, playing a lot out of the forward line, which is not really his go. So they could put a lot of time into Dangerfield because they just knew that Selwood wasn't going to hurt them.
And, of course, at the same time, Dustin Martin benefits greatly by Cam Guthrie's injury. Let's not forget.
Yes.
That was good for Dustin. So the cards fell. And you know what? Cards often fall for teams and they don't take it like Richmond took it. Well, Jack, hang on to the line, because you've won a $50 voucher to New York Minute Burgers. Damien's in Strathmore. G'day, Damien.
G'day, guys. How you doing? I just want to talk about the Mighty Tigers as well. I was there on Friday night. It was an absolutely fantastic night. Probably easily the best night of the footy I've been to ever.
That's great. Ever.
I never got to see 1980. I was working that day, so I couldn't. I'm the same age as you, Fonz. I was working as a race boy at Mooney Valley, selling race books that day, so I missed it.
I just love that. Best I've been to ever. Well, hopefully, within the next 2 weeks, you alter that statement.
What I wanted to talk about was, it's the first time ever I've seen Richmond play 100% as a team. I mean, all 22 players, they're all on the same boat. They all want to play together. There was always one or two Richmond players in the past that would, you know, miss a tackle or wouldn't chase or was greedy or, you know, wouldn't pass the ball on. But this is the first time I've ever seen 100%. They're all committed to the same effort. And they're just a fantastic team. And they're just so dedicated to each other. And it's a real love. They just love each other. And it's just a fantastic thing to see. And the supporters have just embraced it even more than normal. And we're just loving the role. And it's a real 100% unity between the fans and the team. And it's just a great thing that's going. And hopefully it continues for another 3 weeks.
And people who don't believe that that's true, that there's something special happening there, need only look at the VFL. And Richmond have risen to heights that they really never did as the Coburg Tigers or Richmond Tigers. They won again on the weekend, and they just, there's something about the plays, isn't there? Everybody wants to keep going. Markoff put his hand up, and a couple of other players. They're probably not going to make the team, but it's a great, it's got Footscray Bull and Bulldogs written all over it, and it's got, you know what it's got? It's got finally get out of town written all over it, because a couple of my close friends are Richmond, and through St Kilda's travails, at least I always had them to turn to, and they already got me in the crosshairs.
Interesting with the VFL, the guy who will try and end it for the VFL level is Chris Newman, of course, coach of Box Hill. So that's a nice little twist for what will be a big VFL final next Sunday. There is that look about Richmond. They generally are enjoying the time that's spent at the footy club. What was really interesting on Friday night, finally, was they came into the rooms after the game and pretty much they weren't called to a meeting for about 10 minutes. They sang the song, and they pretty much just lingered, and players who had relatives and friends in the rooms were able to go and enjoy the win with them before the formality of the team meeting started. And that's a bit of a change from the way a lot of teams go and the way Richmond's gone in the past as well. And I really do think that the Neil Barm, everything's calm, everything's okay approach to that footy club is working beautifully. I think the coach has changed his outlook, and it generally is a great place to be at the moment, and really does remind you of the Western Bulldogs last year.
Now, what I'm about to say is strange, but let me talk it through. Richmond could win the flag this year. It's now on the cards. And
well, one of three can win it, but yeah.
And they would be no certainty to make the eight next year. And I'm not saying that because of what happened to Bulldogs. But I'm just getting a sense of how important the home ground is for the interstate teams. And I know they play in Victoria, but every second week they've got a fortress. And how important it is for Geelong. And then how, for Geelong, how artificial some that two or three extra wins at Simmons are is not great for the club. It's not that they don't play the MCG well, but if their real place on the ladder is lower than it is because it's only where it is because of Simmons, then it's not helping them in finals.
I thought it was really interesting, finding the remarks from Joel Selwood about we're too used to playing at Simmons, 115 metres wide compared to the MCG.
It's no good.
It was very un-Geelong-like thing. So Geelong have always been a bit of a anytime, any place sort of side.
It's
and I
so
thought
true,
that was
mate.
A really Honest. Interesting remark from Joel Selwood. And it's not that I don't play. I did the math. They've played 16 times in the last 3 years, Geelong, at the MCG. Yeah. It is not like going to their once-a-year trip to Metricon. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a very un-Geelong thing to say.
They know, he knows that this team is not suited to the MCG. Buse and Colin Jasny are solid. They're not freewheeling type halfback flankers. And Henderson, you know, these are guys that can operate and throw a noose around you at Simmons, but they can't do it at the MCG. Obviously, they need Cockatoo playing. They can't possibly imagine, with Motlop being so flaky and no Cockatoo, having enough run to win at the MCG. It's just... You know, they were fortunate it was a wet and greasy night because it'd be worse on a dry day.
Yeah, that's right. And it just makes the discussion going forward about they want to play more games at Simmons Stadium, which is absolutely fair enough. It's their home ground. Yeah. They make a lot of money there. But if they're playing 10 or 11 home games at Simmons Stadium a year, they've got to develop a plan B about coming to the MCG because they won't be winning the premiership at Simmons. They'll be coming back to the MCG
exactly
at some
right.
stage to win it. Good stat about... The Victorian teams have won a premiership. Only two Dockland tenant teams have ever won.
Yeah, it's very hard. It's, you know, when St Kilda were at their best, you knew that they were not playing at their best ground. Nobody would, I think, be too uncomfortable with the idea that had the 2009 and 10 final series all been played at Etihad, St Kilda would have won a flag. Now, I'm not saying it ever should be, but that's what sort of team St Kilda was. They just couldn't score it well at the MCG.
And make no bones about it, it was Geelong v Richmond, and Geelong came out second as the home team and had a bit more of the screen stuff, the LED screen. This was a Richmond game, a Richmond crowd.
Apparently, it was unbelievable. Apparently, one of
the
Geelong players said when he ran on the ground, he felt the force of the Richmond roar push him back into the race.
They booed. I mean, it was...
Yeah. Well, if that's nothing, what happens on preliminary final day?
Well, preliminary finals be fat because already the Richmond... grand final tickets are so hard to get.
Yeah, that's right.
So the preliminary final is going to be the biggest call to arms of the Richmond. And even if they play GWS, there will be 85 to 90,000 people.
There'll be 95,000. Richmond are selling out this ground. And if it's GWS, I have done my research, which is sitting here thinking about it for a minute. Never in the history of AFL football will there have been such a numerically biased crowd, ever in the history of the game. Give me one game that could be 95,000 Richmond GWS equivalency. It doesn't exist. Even, you know, Brisbane had Fitzroy fans, they could get to, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, any team, any big drawing Victorian team. Yeah, the only team, Collingwood in a plenum would get 90,000 to 500, but not many.
No, I'm saying, but that has actually already happened.
Oh, no, has it never happened?
No. This is...
It's going to be insane.
Well,
if it's West Coast, there'll be 5,000.
Yeah, West Coast get numbers.
They always get at least five to a game.
What happens is, you see, if Richmond can get off to a decent start, it's just going to be a wave that is ridden all the way into the grand final. And these really inexperienced, in many ways, GWS players they don't look like they could handle it. But if Richmond are inaccurate or are getting beaten, 90,000 oohs and the groans.
Yeah.
I spoke about it with Adam Coody on the weekend, And he said, absolutely. It starts to build up. You hear the groans get louder and louder. So it's very interesting, but you just want to be there. It's going to be mayhem. Did you see what Richmond, the suburb, was like on Friday night?
Well, I was at the MCG for about 45 minutes and I went to Richmond Station. That was enough. But had I had a bit more time, a walk down Swan Street would have been,
fun. So I didn't leave here until round one. There's a kebab place on the corner there. Now, the traffic had stopped. There's like 50 people on the road eating kebabs. It's an informal sort of street party.
Yeah.
With, it was just mayhem. Traffic lights not obeyed. It was hilarious. It was just, and that's the first final. I say more of it. Let's go to Dan in Surry Hills. G'day, Dan.
G'day, guys. I'm just going to throw out a name for you, and I'd love to elicit a response because I'm not sure either of you, you're not Collingwood, Ash, I'm not sure, but I'm looking for an impartial view on the name Mason Cox.
Impartial view on Mason Cox. I'm glad he's re-signed with Collingwood. I'm glad they're going to persevere with him a bit longer. What Collingwood need to develop is that second. Their forward line needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
And back Cox into some sort of partnership with Darcy Moore. It's worth doing. I'm really glad he's there and they're going to stick him out. He's a smart guy, Mason Cox. He can make it work.
I say bad move for club, bad move for player. Bad move for club because, look, he's a good player, Mason Cox, and they waver sometimes between him being a ruck forward or needing him to play forward and help out in the ruck. The problem is when he plays and goes forward, that so changes the dynamic of the forward line because they really do kick it tall to him, don't they? They just kick it up and he plucks it.
Yeah.
So you can't have one week we're going to kick high into the forward line because we've got marking supremacy. And then a week later, Darcy Moore's the only forward and we're back to pinpointing passes to Elliott and Fasolo. This is the inconsistency of the Collingwood team that kills them.
But now they've got 3 years. He's here for 3 years. Let's make it work.
Yeah, well.
And the coach has got two. So they've actually got time to. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
And as soon as they lose a couple of games. As soon as they lose a couple of games, Cox is the first looked at. And from the player's perspective, again, he is going to be the first guy.
Yeah, but this is a new Collingwood fight. This is a new. We're not making lofty statements. We're just going to trim it back a bit.
Collingwood.
Just try and prove. This is what Collingwood have said.
Okay.
We've fallen guilty in the past of giving ourselves expectations and nominating a ceiling. We're not doing that anymore. So make it work.
You know, during September, they used to play finals. Now they play funny buggers. Honestly. Collingwood. With the army baying for blood. I'll tell you, the first two that get dropped are Cox and Blair because the fans just absolutely stick it to the poor buggers. Oh, yeah, they're just going to live in the bubble. You've got to be kidding. Dan, back to you. Are you there, Dan?
Yeah, no, I am. And look, if I may, I'm conflicted, feeling very conflicted. I like the fact that we're backing in a project like Cox because, the game generally has benefited from projects that are left field from time to time. Makes the game more interesting and it's why we love the game. But that being said, I find the timing incredibly curious, given the Wells and the Main missteps this year.
It's a great observation.
And the tenure of those contracts was all people talked about this year. So I'm backing Mason, but I can't believe they've given him 3 years. And I can only imagine that it is a trade-off between dollars and tenure.
Yeah,
it's the only rationale that I can come up with.
Dan, I am totally dubious and sceptical about the concept that we've signed him for 3 years. We're now going to leave the kid alone and just play him and persist with him come what may. You mentioned at Maine. He was given a great run at Collingwood. Fans were yelling for his blood when he ran out the first game. And within, by half time of his third game, his AFL career at Collingwood was kaput. And he signed for 4 years. So, honestly,
I'm not sure with the tenure. I would have signed for two, not three. But maybe it's...
I don't know. I just think it's such a hard club to hold your nerve at with those things. If Collingwood can do it, great, but if they're chopping and changing with Cox, it alters their makeup too much and it affects how they play football. And they're looking for consistency. Let's try Ricky in Namurka. G'day, Ricky.
G'day, guys. Yeah, I've just been an impartial supporter of this final series. Just pretty impressed with Richmond, actually, the leadership. I think that's a big change. And I don't know, Ash, if you remember, wasn't it last year that there was some type of fallout with the leadership group, training group or something, that the players decided they had enough of that leadership training group? And maybe since then they've sort of thrived. And I actually think that they've improved by letting Brett Deledio go too on top of that. I know it's a small thing, but last year when Lordy had a go at him, I think it was Lordy, just the way he couldn't handle the criticism. You know, you see players like Cochin and Drew Petrie and that, they've copped their criticism, and the way they turned around and responded to that, they acted like men. I just thought Brett Deledio was a bit petulant. And so I know they had this stat that while Brett Deledio played, Richmond won more often than not. I reckon it was just painting over some gaps in their side, and I think City's gone. The Tigers have gone up and the Giants have gone down.
Well, certainly the leadership of Trent Cotchin the last couple of years has been outstanding.
First 10 minutes in that final were as... really reminded me actually of Lenny Hayes in the grand final.
Yeah, he mucked into
were as statement-like as you could get.
Yeah, he cracked in just body on body and set a tone for Richmond that stuck for the whole night. I think he's been an inspired choice as captain. I think the Brownlow... the belated Brownlow win probably, I think, vindicated him a bit as well. I think it's given him a bit of swagger.
Wasn't that good that at the end of a year where he copped some criticism, he becomes the Brownlow medalist, and that's exactly right. At least he can, you know, he's got a bit of cachet.
Yeah, so he's been terrific. And I think there were stages when Cotton looked like he was falling out of love with footy, but he looks now like he's very much in love again with footy. You can just watch him play and the enjoyment he's getting out of it. So... it's been a big change for him. But they're just doing things differently now at Richmond. I mean, the template's been set by Neil Barham and Damien Hart. This is where we're going to go. I wrote in my column on the website this morning, I'll do an NBA one. Richmond revival will be an NBA subject one day because they've really invested in people and culture on and off the field and the way they've backed their people in. And I think it's been an example that a lot of AFL clubs could follow, particularly the other side of Swan Street from them, could sort of follow in terms of backing your people in.
You know, they had a group of supporters that were so resilient and accepting of whatever happened at Richmond. They just took a good team off field, results on field, to absolutely make that place somewhere you want to be. Because supporters generally, except for the chicken heart. But really, they've been very, in terms of numbers, in terms of what really matters, fronting up season after season.
Even when they were rubbish, they were getting 45,000 members a year, which is not a bad figure.
It's a great effort. We need to take a break. Just on GWS, when we return, I want to ask you this. A lot of people are saying they picked the wrong team on the weekend. They went too tall. I'm going to put it to you after the break. They can't pick any other team. They're stuffed because they don't have the right list. I said, no, you can't with those Carlton shirts. You can't get 99. They're beautiful shirts. Three delivered for 99. You can. It can be done. Which means you don't have to go shopping, which will cost you more than 99. I guarantee you, if you go with your wife shopping, it costs you more than 99. It's just a disaster. Ash Brown is here thanks to Sports Stars at the Meadows. A great night on September the 23rd at the meadows.org.au. Now you've seen a lighter. I haven't smoked for 2 weeks.
I was going to say
I have not smoked for 2 weeks, but I did clean the car and I found 4 lighters, and I'm happy. I'm happy if anybody sees me smoke a cigarette, because I might smoke the electronic cigarettes. But anybody sees me smoke a tobacco cigarette, I will donate $2,000 to the charity of their choice, and I'll stick to that forever. I love not smoking.
Very good.
Feel better, feel richer, and feel as though I'm honouring my position as father of 4 children. Let's get back to the Get Wines Direct open line. Online wines made easy, best deals every day. Just on GWS, they don't have players to bring in to change the team very much. I mean, Taranto?
It's just going to be Band-Aids for the rest of the year until they change things up a little bit. I mean, Johnson... I think they'll play Johnson this week. I think that's almost...
That's one last hurrah
in him, and they're just going to back him in for one last good game.
They need a miracle. Well, then they're clutching at straws.
Well, they've got to make at least two changes, don't they? Because Mumford's out now for the season, and Cameron's out for the season. Yep. So, I mean, Simpson Dawson will come in for...
Yeah, against Nathan Vardy.
Yes.
They'll smile. You've got to have a little giggle when they line up.
Would you have thought any time in your life finally you'd be going to a cutthroat final where the first rucks are Nathan Vardy and Dawson Simpson?
No, I probably didn't. I thought Nathan Vardy, actually. I think Nathan Vardy always had bad luck with injury. I think Dawson was just huge.
And Shane Mumford replacing a Geelong person as well. So at least Geelong...
Yeah, that's right. The problem GWS is... there's many problems. There's a surfeit of problems. But they don't have a... They should be under such a spotlight now. Their ears should be ringing constantly. I mean, if they were any team in any other state, even if they were Sydney, if they were not GWS, there's just not enough passionate supporters there to create any noise. The Sydney media's not going to do it. They should be coming out after the loss in the last round as a team scorned, but they're not scorned.
Well, funny you mentioned that, because I, on another radio station, interviewed Dave Matthews on the weekend, the CEO of the Giants, and I put that very question to him. I said, GWS aren't exactly the lead item on the 6 o'clock news in Sydney. They're not exactly back page of the Daily Telegraph. Unlike in Melbourne, where you're really under the microscope for poor performances, how do the players feel the weight of expectation when they're not front and centre of the dialogue and discourse up there? And he said, well, they can choose to consume the media if they want, and if they consume football media, that they'll know what people are saying about them, which I just didn't quite agree with. I didn't quite accept that.
How about Leon premise. Cameron? Again, on the weekend, he said, look, first half was as disappointing as we played.
Dennis Pagan on Facebook today, by any chance?
No. Oh. What did he say? He said, first half was as disappointing as we played, but second half we played much better. He's treating them like some sort of children, wealthy, privileged children that are going to have a terrible hissy fit if he's honest with them. Why is he continually pandering to them?
Yeah, Dennis Pagan put it on a Facebook post, and I'm not going to repeat it because I'm not sure it's for public consumption, but basically on the lines of, it's time to stop pandering them. They need a bit of old-fashioned coaching.
Absolutely. I mean, really, we were much better in the second half. Well, that's great. That's a really all goes well for next year's JLT series. I mean, where is Judgment Day for this team? They are enjoying the spoils of being spoiled.
Is there a theory that the coach can't be too old school with them, because if he's too old school with them, they'll pack up their bags and come home?
I'll be old school with you. Get this to the GWS players. This is a team of footballers that are, through the midfield, so used to being one by one the stars of their junior team that they have no concept of playing the supportive, less seen role for their teammates.
No worker bees.
So you know, Josh Kelly gets the ball, and on the weekend he had to get it five times because nobody was there helping him. Cornelio gets injured. I thought it was a knee. He proves that he's run off the knee by running forward 40 metres of the play, screaming for the ball. But it was a contested ball. Oh, he can run all right, forwards. But these guys, I mean, Callan Ward's an in and under player, but they all hump the ball. These guys were all used to getting the ball and running with the ball and jumping over little kick, you know, just dominating. And they don't know how to not dominate. Lockie Whitfield does not know how to play whatever football they want him to play. He's just hopeless there. Honestly, he's hopeless. And he was a number one draft pick. This team is made up of too much... And it is a similar background to players. Footy teams thrive on the rookie that's made it, because he lifts... The star looks at his journey and is inspired by it. The player at his third club on his last legs... It's a mix of desperation and skill that makes a football team now irresistible. And GWS is the most resistible team I've ever seen. They're just likable.
They might get the win this week against West Coast, and they'll come to the MCG and play Richmond and likely get flogged.
Yeah. They, I hope they don't win this week, because West Coast would be a great story in a prelim. Mitchell and Prittis one way from a grand final.
Imagine Sam Mitchell getting one last MCG final.
But even in their hopelessness against Adelaide on the weekend, they came in and kicked 3 goals after half time because they've got individual stars, GWS, and they'll probably win. Let's go to Arthur in Montmorency. G'day, Arthur.
Look, Bonnie, I can't disagree with you anymore about GWS, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, obviously Victoria was talking about Richmond, South Australia talking about Adelaide, but I think it's very much on the cards it could be a North Sydney Grand Final. And I think that'd be great for football. GWS, okay, they're not going so well at the moment, but pound for pound, they are better than West Coast, and they are far better than Richmond.
No, they're not. They got beaten by Richmond. Mumford and Cameron are out for the year. Heath Shaw is shot. They might have to bring Steve Johnson back. Their forward line has now got an imbalance. Are they still playing Lobb and Patton in the same team? Stop it, because it's stupid. Their back line really is only serviceable and ill-suited to play Richmond, because they've got Corr, Tomlinson,
Davis,
and they're too big for Richmond's back line, forward line.
That's why Geelong had to play Harry Taylor as a forward the other night, because there was no matchup for him in the back line.
Yeah, I mean,
which is why, in the end, I think why Menzel didn't play.
Himmelberg not ready yet. They might have to play Perryman. They will be rucking with Dawson Simpson, and they've lost to Richmond this year at the MCG. Their form coming into the finals was very concerning. They got home in the last 10 minutes at home against Fremantle, as Fremantle were free-falling. They lose comfortably to Geelong in a must-win last game to get a home final and finish second and get possibly into a grand final on two spotless games. They have ill discipline through Toby Green, their best player. They have some stars in the midfield who are not gelling. And if they can turn it around, more power them. But, oh boy, they have been disappointing this year in spades.
They've had issues with continuity. They've had a lot of players out over the course of the year. Haven't had a lot of continuity. When you look at a team like Richmond, often the team that wins the premiership's had reasonable continuity, and Richmond's had that this year.
Yeah, true.
But the scare campaign that was, they're going to win the next 3 or 4 premierships and they're a super team, it's not quite there yet. There are chemistry issues there. They won't get past Richmond in the preliminary final. Well, they home ground advantage, 2 extra days to prepare. I think they might squeak home this week against West Coast, but I can't see them beating Richmond, not this year.
Arthur, there's something wrong with GWS. You see, there are 3-star players who had the world watch and asked them whether they're re-signing this year. Fife went early because he probably didn't come back as well in the first half of the year and just took the safe option. Dustin Martin offered the biggest offer ever by a football club, North Melbourne. And not only knocked it back, but he chose the bye weekend to give his club a further fillip into the finals and a boost that we saw. Yeah, it's been all smiles at Richmond, and that was well orchestrated by player, manager and club. Josh Kelly continues to leave that side hanging. If he's going to play for GWS, why hasn't he used it as a good news story as the club is free-falling out of the final series? What's going on there, Arthur? Why is Josh Kelly not announcing he's re-signed when it matters? The answer is because he hasn't re-signed and doesn't know yet, I would have thought. What do you reckon?
Look, I don't know why Josh Kelly hasn't signed yet. I mean, I'm not sure, but there's rumours that he's decided to stay, but we don't know that yet.
I'm saying, but if that's true, he's got to use it as a fillip for the team like Dusty did for Richmond.
Well, Tigers, you've given a lot of good reasons why they're not doing well, but there's one thing that I don't think anyone's considered, is that if GWS gets the 3 or 4 goals in front, we don't know what Richmond's capable of. They're not very good. They're not very good when they're behind.
Oh, they were 30 points down to Sydney and beat them. I thought that's a pretty good effort. Sydney's a pretty strong team. They were 5 goals down against Sydney and beat them.
Who, GWS?
Richmond.
Oh, Richmond. GWS started well that day.
SMS underestimating the pressure that Adelaide put on GWS. True.
The Adelaide pressure was enormous.
Yeah, Zach Williams looked a different player, didn't he?
Yeah. They think they... And that, look, they're going to have to come to... They're going to have to win a couple of big games away from home to win the premiership. But I think this week they're going to be a lot better at home.
Yeah. They might be. They have to be. They, no matter what happens, I'll tell you, they were supposed to improve from last year. Last year was a good stepping springboard into a grand, into being a better team. Young players getting better, wasn't it?
Supposed
their home and away record this year, allowing for injuries. But a lot of those injuries, who's been injured? Cornelio is the one that stands out. Does Griffin change the dynamic? Did Delidio change the dynamic?
Oh, I think a fit Delidio would have been...
Well, that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, well, that's the big if, isn't it? But I think their plans for Delidio were to play as a forward.
Mm-hmm.
From the very start, that hasn't really happened. He's just battling now. I think Griffin had one or two more good years. You know, I'm not sure what's going to happen now. He's missed so much footy. Will they roll the dice and play him this week? Probably not, but...
That was... Yeah.
That maybe they'll just feel that they need to.
Richmond were 5 goals up against Sydney and lost. It was the other way around. But they were, this doesn't add to my argument, they were 6 or 6 goals down against Fremantle that hit the front.
Yeah.
But they didn't win. Mundy kicked the goal.
Was the old Richmond.
Oh, look, you know, that's all right. Because WS have to get in front. They have to win first. And the first thing that they have to do, by the way, is get supporters that care about losing.
Well, another funny story, Dave Matthew told on the weekend, was that the Giants supporters and their cheer squad were taken aback at the hostility shown directed towards them by the Bulldogs fans in the preliminary final.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are new to football.
Yeah.
They had to be explained to them, it's okay not just to cheer for your team, but you've actually got to create a hostile environment for the other
team.
Yeah,
of course. I mean, they spent 4 hours.
I didn't know that.
They spent 4 hours trying to find ochre and slate streamers. Very hard club to support. Those colours aren't natural. They're not orange and grey. I'm sorry, Tigers did blow a lead against the Swans. Came back against Freer. And, by the way, they're just a good team. And they're in the prelim at home. GWS, oh, that Kelly thing's a worry. It really is. Ash, we're going to have to say goodbye to you because Nathan Brown is upon us.
Goodbye.
Just the one observation we've just discussed with you on the weekend, with all these neck tattoos and family connections discussed in Parliament and all the controversy, Dustin Martin is the most polite, demure player on field. See what he did on Friday night?
I think we both noticed the same thing, that very politely inquiring of the umpire.
What was that for? The umpire said, you did the don't argue, drop the ball. He goes, oh, yeah, thanks. I've never seen such a polite man. You are polite, Will. And you were here for Sports Stars at the Meadows, September 2023, meadows.org.au. Thanks, Ashley Brown.